Hello and welcome back to the Vinnie White Podcast. The Vinnie White Podcast returns, this time live from Ghana, West Africa, on the Cape Coast. I'm on the beach, and coming up in the podcast, we'll find out why am I here? Because it's cold everywhere else. How did I get here? An aeroplane, just a normal aeroplane. And what am I doing here? Just wandering about, really. Just sort of seeing what's going on. All that coming up, but with slightly more excitement. This is the Vinnie White Podcast from Ghana, West Africa, on the beach. Ha ha! Oh. Hello, my name is Vinny. I've been living in Canada for 12 years. I did lots of radio shows over there and podcasted them. Now I moved back to England and have got a peculiar reverse culture shock, and we'll get into that no doubt. But living here, I am going to do some more podcasting and probably get a radio show, I imagine, or some sort of YouTube thing. I don't know. We'll work it out later. I'm in my flat. And yeah, I've got a flat. Well, I didn't buy one, obviously, because they're £2.5 million a square foot. But I did move to London with my lady friend. I managed to import a Canadian, and she's living here with me. She's gone to work. And at the same time, check the weather report in Ottawa, Toronto, and it's, let me just see. Yeah, minus 20. Wish I was making it up. I'm not. If you are listening in Canada, anywhere other than sort of Vancouver, Kelowna, you'll know, of course, that it's been painfully cold, at least painfully cold, otherwise known as obnoxiously, stupidly cold. All of those meteorological terms can be used. Well, now I can swear quite openly because, of course, it's a podcast and it's not going out on the radio. I think we can call that weather fucking outrageous. Jesus Christ. Shiver my timbers and put something up my bottom. It shouldn't be that cold anywhere. It has actually been colder in Ottawa than it has been in the North and South Pole. So well done you. And hopefully now spring is knocking on the door. I doubt it, but you know, you can only hope. And I wanted to let you know that this year I probably will get a radio show here in England, and I'll continue podcasting that show. In the meantime, I'm probably just going to do some podcasts anyway. But what's happening so far is, moved to London, got a flat, life's all right, can't grumble, but I got a bit bored. So normally when I get a bit bored, I book a trip. So I've done that. So I'm going to Africa next week. Yeah, I think I might have ADD. And by this time next week, Ebola. No, I should be fine. But I am going to Ghana, and I'm going to take you with me. So if you fancy coming along for the ride, then all you have to do is stay tuned. The adventure begins, and it starts here in North London, Highgate Hill to be exact. Highgate Hill, home to Ricky Gervais, Chris Martin from Coldplay, and, weirdly, the Ghanaian embassy, where you have to get a visa. It's going to cost you a couple of hundred dollars, and when you get it, basically it's a bit of paper in your passport that allows you to get into Ghana, or in my case, allows you to get into Ghana, and then leave Ghana, and then get back in. I got a double entry visa, £140. And the reason I did that is because I might go to Togo. Basically because I want to go to Togo. Because, yeah, basically because of that sentence, really, and now I've said it, I don't even know if I have to go. But I wanted to, I'll just milk it, I'll say it again. I want to go to Togo. It's funny because Togo is also Togo. It's a country in Africa. And yeah, I might go there. And then if I go there, obviously I have to get back into Ghana, hence the need for a double entry. It's wet and horrible here in London, although I must admit, having lived in Canada for the last 12 years, it gives me great joy to look at the weather in Ottawa and see that it's currently minus 20. Good luck with that. Where I'm going is going to be
25 or something like that. I leave on Monday, which is in a few days' time. What can I say? The visa experience was interesting. They want to know a few things. They want to know your flights, so you have to book your flights first, which is always a bit worrying, because then if you don't get the visa, that means you don't get any money back on your flights, unless you buy refundable flights, which are really expensive. So, a bit of a horrible moment there, but nonetheless, I seem to have the visa that I wanted. They also wanted to know my accommodation. I don't know where I'll be staying, so I went on Expedia, typed in something, got a quote, printed the quote, and changed the word quote to booking in Photoshop, and so it looks like it was booked. I gave them that and they didn't check it, so that's good. A little tip for you there: you don't need to book accommodation, you just need to look like you've booked accommodation. And so that's that. I'm now off to get a GoPro to stick on my head so I don't look like a tourist in Ghana, because I'm sure everyone's got one of those. No, I'm gonna go and do that. I just think it'd be fun to video a few things. So I'm going to get a GoPro, and then I'm going to go to Africa. And that's where the adventures start. Well, I suppose the adventures did start in the embassy. I learned the word for thank you when I picked up my passport, which I've now forgotten. Midani. Ghanaians listening to this thinking, spot the white boy. Midonigal? Mid pipes? I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, I learned the word thank you. I've instantly forgotten it. Hopefully it will sink in when I'm actually in Africa. This is Vinnie White reporting from North London, about to go to Africa. I'll keep you up to date with what goes on, and hopefully I'll have a good trip. Here goes nothing. $28 million people live in Ghana, one of Africa's success stories, a democratic nation with a reasonably stable government, and a fantastic music scene, an art scene, and a vibrant, cool place, or as Donald Trump would call it, a shithole. Because, and I'm going to bring you this news, I'm not sure if you've worked this out for yourself yet, Donald Trump is in fact a complete arsehole. Wow! Breaking news there. I'm standing outside a place that I just got my hair cut. I've only been here a while, and my first agenda was to get my hair cut. Oh, hello. A haircut in London is about 15 quid, and here it's two. Back of the net. There is a small price to pay, however. I look not quite what I expected. So I went in there, and because their English wasn't amazing, I decided the best thing to do is just show them a picture of my driving license where I have short hair, and just say, same. What could possibly go wrong? Well, I showed them my driving license. Apparently, they saw a picture of Ringo Starr in the 60s. Got a bowl cut, and let's just say it's a bloody good idea that this is not a vlog, because a podcast is a beautiful way to not have to look at my hair, which I thought something was going wrong when he was using a razor blade around my ears, like a proper live, just unwrapped razor blade, freehand. No nerves there then. And he nearly chopped my ear off a couple of times. And I thought, it's weird that he's doing that, because I've never had that before, but probably that's really normal. Yeah, it's really normal if you don't want any hair around your ears. So I look a bit like a Lego man. It looks like it's just been stuck on. It's like a bowl that's been stuck on. It's absolutely hideous, but my girlfriend's not here, so it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm obviously always fighting them off anyway, and now it's going to help fight them off. I mean, I did it intentionally, is definitely what I'm saying. So where am I? I'm in Ghana. Quite a lot of gold made this country what it is. A lot of commodities. That led to invasion from the Portuguese, the French, the Dutch, the Swedes, and the Danish. Everyone's had a crack. And then when slavery, which is a very much an important part of the economy, not quite a moral one, I wouldn't say, but there we are. More of that coming up as I go and look at the slave Gold Coast. But anyway, slavery was abolished in the 1800s. The Ashanti lost a lot of money when that happened, because they were trading slaves with the Western world, and they lost a lot of power. So in came the Brits, and they did it using flags, guns, moustaches, and smugness. but it's been independent since the 60s. And like so many African countries, it's still trying to find its feet. It's done a lot better though. Don't take that democracy lightly. It's hard to find a really good democratic model in Africa. And this is one of them. Yeah, you know, I'm stood on the road here and there's potholes everywhere and people riding motorbikes with no crash helmets. And yeah, it's the developing world, you know. It's pretty bonkers in places. Also, I've seen a lot of guys selling phones that have no cables, no paperwork, no boxes. And I'm thinking, I know a lot of people that have had their phones stolen on the streets of London by moped gangs. And I've always wondered where they end up. Well, I'll tell you where they end up. Accra, Ghana. A lot of them anyway. Some of them make their way to the east. Still got a cold, but I'm having a beer. That'll fix everything. Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to take a trip around Ghana. Obviously, now it's a matter of wheels. So what I'm going to try and do, and this is definitely a brilliant idea, what could possibly go wrong again, is sort of rent a motorbike. I say sort of because you can't rent a motorbike, but you can go up to a guy that's got a motorbike and say, can I borrow that for a week and I'll pay you? Which is renting, but without quite the paperwork that we're used to. So I'm going to go and have a chat with a few mechanics. Let's see if we can organise something, because it'd be nice to have a motorbike. And I'll get back to you. But yeah, here I am. It's hot, it's sexy, it's gorgeous. It's definitely something to look at. There are people bustling around, working away on this Monday afternoon, carrying all kinds of things. There's this guy with a shoe on his head, just walked past me. He's also got shoes in his hands, but he thought, why not pop one on my head, and then everyone knows that I'm a shoe seller? Unless he is extremely drunk and has confused his head with his foot. I did it once, didn't end pretty. Yeah, I wish I was making that up. Oh, that's honestly true. It's amazing how when I record something, it gets weirder. Maybe I should keep this on. Ghana, Africa, 2018. This is the building I look at. My hotel's right there. That's whoop, whoop, whoop. Well, you've only got 3 songs. You need some more songs. There you are, buddy. Is that good enough?
Give me 5, yeah, I'll touch.
5? Yeah, give me this. Give me 5.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay, bye.
See you later, man.
Yeah.
Just got out of a cab in Accra near my hotel. And it's nice of them to drop me off in the middle of the highway.
Always makes me feel good.
These guys, you think Uber's bad? These guys do not know where they're going. Like, I showed them a map. Obviously, I haven't got information on my phone. I've just got a photograph of where I'm staying on the map. Yeah, so a photograph of the map, a screen dump of the map. And he's pushing it around, and every time he pushes it, he sees pictures of me and my girlfriend with clothes on. You know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to get a beer.
Eh?
I need a beer.
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 Also
beer.
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 Bia!
Bia! Bia.
Hey. I give my daughter to you.
Yeah, it's a Boris.
You're giving your daughter to me?
Mariam. It's a Boris. Boris man.
Hello, okay. Boris. I'm already married, sorry.
Oh! You are married.
Yeah.
Married.
It was a great offer, though. I mean, thank you very much. Right, have a good night, girls. Yeah. See you later, love. So there you go, that's Ghana. You're trying to talk into a microphone on the side of the street and someone asks you to marry their daughter. And you know what? That's what it's all about. I absolutely love it. You never know what's going to happen next. I obviously say beer wrong. I need to start saying bia, bia. Because I just said I want a beer and she said pizza. Not really, no. And then she offered me her daughter. I mean, really, you would think that if you're going to offer your daughter to someone, you would at least make sure that they were capable of pronunciation in your local dialect. I think she's not being choosy enough, if I'm honest. Hello from the Hippo Hotel in Ghana. Okay, if I sound weary, it's because I am. Oh! I managed to get a motorbike, which is far more of an achievement than you might think. First of all, you can't rent motorbikes in Ghana. You can't. So what you have to do is you have to find someone that trusts you and then take their motorbike and leave them some money. And they don't want your passport, they don't want anything, they just want to know that their bike's going to come back. So you just have to sort of talk them into the fact that that's going to happen. So, long story short, got in a few taxis, went around town, ended up at some bike shop. The guy that owned it knows a man that knows a man that knows a man that's going to come along and rent me his bike. So this guy comes along about half an hour later, and then 2.5 hours after that, I think I've got a bike. There's a lot of chat about fuck all. And then I got a bike, and then I'm like, okay, so what happens if I get stopped by the police? And they're like, all right, well, obviously you're going to need a registration plate because it hasn't got one, and you'll need insurance and tax. And obviously you can't have any of those things because it's not your bike. I'm like, okay, so I'm not really ready to pay you until we get a plate on this thing. So we drive to a wooden hut with three men sitting at it. One of them is asleep. The other two are just having a chat while some chickens walk around them. And I negotiated with them to get plates. But the plates that I've got are dealer plates. So you might, in your country, have driven behind a car that's got red plates. Well, my bike's got red plates because I am a Ghanaian motorbike dealer. Yep, that's what I need to tell the police. I have dealer's plates because that's the only plates you can get temporarily. And because I'm a motorbike dealer, I have a logbook and I have to write in it everywhere I'm going and everywhere I've been and then show it to the police. And if the police ask me why I'm driving a motorbike, I say I'm just testing it because I might buy it. That's it, that's what I say. And they'll be like, oh yeah, but you're a dealer. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a bike dealer and I might buy this bike. That's it. And here's all the paperwork that I paid for. And if need be, and I hope this won't happen, here is 20 cedis. Interesting fact, by the way, cedis is the currency. Cedis is named after a shell because they used to trade shells as currency. Yeah, there you go. Not very helpful in a police situation, which will inevitably happen, but, you know, a few facts never hurt anyone to warm them up. So that's the scoop. I have a bike. It is a crap box, obviously. It's got one mirror. It doesn't have a horn and doesn't have any back pegs because they've snapped off where it's been dropped before. He did give it an oil change today, which was kind of him. And all things considered, it's probably the most stupid thing a man could do. Until, and this is the great thing about travelling, you meet other people. So I just checked into a hostel. There's a guy that's got German plates on his bike. He's got malaria. And I end up chatting to him. He's getting over malaria. He's got mosquito bites all over his legs and feet. One of them was the bike that gave him malaria, I presume. And he's riding from Germany to Cape Town. And if you think my bike is in a bad way, you should see his. It's been dropped a few times. And actually, although it's probably more robust for long journeys, he looked at mine and said, oh, it's fine. It's fantastic. So it's all relative. And my little pathetic trip around Ghana has got nothing on his We'll talk to him later. He's gone for a rest because he's got, you know, malaria. But we'll have a chat with him later. He'll be drinking water. I will probably be drinking a beer. So there you go. I've got a bike. Let's see what happens now. You might as well start from the beginning in Germany.
Yeah. So I was going here in Germany.
Yeah.
All the way around.
You started by going around Germany?
Yeah, to say all friends goodbye because I want to be a long time on the travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's already quite a long journey, isn't it? Driving around Germany?
It's quite a long journey from bar to bar when you say old friends goodbye. But no. Strasbourg is in the next. So I was going to Switzerland, from Switzerland to Italy, okay, and Milan, and then I was in France. I was driving here the highway along the Côte d'Azur,
yeah,
from there to Spain, and after Nice,
yeah, okay,
to Portugal.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, in Portugal I have friends, quite next to Lisbon. From there I meeting somebody named Dr. Nuno Alfonso Gonzalez.
Oh, that well-known Dr. Nuno Alfonso Gonzalez.
Huh?
Yeah, okay. So you met him.
He want my transport my motorcycle from here to America. Because my first route was South America, down to Australia to work.
Okay.
India, then Thailand, India, Africa, crossing Africa up.
Okay, but you didn't do that.
I didn't do that because I went to Cuba and I was 2 weeks in Cuba and then I went 2 weeks in Cuban prison.
Okay, this is new. You were 2 weeks in a Cuban prison.
Yeah, for sleeping with a Cuban guard that don't have a tourist visa.
Oh.
Mhm.
They locked you up for 2 weeks because you slept with a Cuban girl?
Yeah. But they don't tell me for 2 weeks. They don't tell me for how long. They just locked me up.
Listen, I'm starting to think you're a really unlucky person.
Oh, no, I would not say this. I think I'm really a lucky person. But... yeah.
So where's the bike? The bike was in...
The bike was with Nuno Alfonso.
In Portugal?
Yeah, in Portugal. Waiting on a container to go to America. And I want to go from Cuba to America to pick it up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to South America. Down.
What happened in the prison? Did they want you? Did they want money?
No.
So no. What did they want?
No, they are not so corrupt. At least.
It sounds pretty corrupt to lock someone up for 2 weeks for having sex.
They don't. No, the thing is, they don't locking me up for having sex. They're locking me up because they want to ask me questions, like what are my relations to Cuba? If I try to trade with things here, if I have the possibility to trade with things here, what I bring with me. Basically, just if I want to bring Coca-Cola to the communism paradise, because they don't want Western stuff. But they don't tell me what happens with the girl.
Hmm.
Yeah, after 2 weeks, they was clear that a nobody with nothing and no interest in treatments in Cuba or smuggling and stuff like this, so they let me out again.
So there must be more to this story, because was she a spy, or is she someone in particular?
No, but it's a little bit like the Stasi in Germany, you know?
The Stasi, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your the Stasi, yeah.
Yeah. In a little village. Inside there's nobody. I sit inside on the bar with the girl, and outside there sit somebody, two old guys, playing cards or something. And I was drinking, she was drinking with me. We decided to have sex, like you decide to have sex after you're drinking a lot. And she said, okay, but it's not that easy. I go in the forest and you follow me. But, okay, whatever you wanted. Yeah, I did. She was going in the forest after she closed the bar. I was going 20 minutes later into the, over a little path. We meet. We had a good night together. I was building my tent. Next morning, I was taking my tent down. And there stand a few police officers. I said, "You came with us." I said, "No, why? My scooter's here. I stay here." I say, "Yeah, but you're unhafted." I say, "For what?" I say, "They said for sleeping with a Cuban girl." And I said, "I don't sleep with a Cuban girl." And that was the first fault. Yeah. They said, "Okay, yeah, no, you're unhafted because you was lying to us." So I go back. After this, I was talking with Dr. Nuno Alfonso Gonzalez to know which direction I fly, America or back.
Yeah.
And he said, "There are problems." I said, "Yeah, cool. That's exactly what I need. Problems." So my motorcycle goes at the end to Valencia.
Okay.
Not to there. No, to there. Not thousands of kilometers, just to Morocco. Marrakesh was the only stop because I already know Morocco quite good.
Yeah.
Mauritania, Senegal, Guinea, Cote d'Ivoire.
Gambia or not?
No, no.
Yeah, round. Yeah.
From here, then directly to Guinea. Guinea was amazing. Senegal too. From there, then here, Ivory Coast.
Okay.
Ivory Coast, Ghana. I'm here. I'm taking from here, Ghana, a boat directly to Angola, Luanda.
Okay.
Yeah, and then down.
Okay. Yeah. That's good, dude. Well done.
That's it. Until now.
But maybe I'm only listening to the bad bits, but you said that you fell off your bike quite badly. You cracked a rib, right? Mm-hmm. You've got malaria now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very good.
Yeah, but a bike accident on a trip like this, one, at least only one, yeah, what is quite... I mean, I make my driving license 9 months ago, and I'm 6 weeks, 6 months on the road.
Yeah.
Like a miracle for me. in traffic like this.
Yeah.
So for me, that's like a miracle. So you can see like this or like that, always.
But you also, you slept in a tent in a church, and someone attacked you with a knife.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'm just listening to all the bad stuff, but I'm thinking that quite a lot of shit has happened to you.
But I had my fun. I was cutting the gear.
You've had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and you got locked up in a prison in Cuba for two weeks.
Yeah. But you just listen to the bad stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I locked up in a prison for sleeping with a wonderful, beautiful woman.
Was it worth it?
Oh man.
Is that a yes?
Yeah,
she was so sexy that she was worth being locked up for 2 weeks.
She would be a model here. She had a bar. Really wonderful.
A German 21-year-old man with quite a lot of stories. It's probably worth mentioning if you are thinking about travelling, by the way, and it sounds horrific because you get malaria and get involved in knife attacks and get locked in Cuban prisons. I'm not saying any of it was his fault. I'm not. But I am saying that here's a man that camped in a part of Cuba that no tourists go to, drank in a local bar, met a girl who said, "Would you like to have sex in the woods?" Went and had sex in the woods, then pitched a tent in the woods, stayed there all night, woke up, the girl wasn't there, but the police were. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it even happened. I'm just saying that, you know, if you go and get a hotel in Havana, you're probably going to be fine, is what I'm saying. Also, the fact that he got attacked in Mauritania was probably because, when I looked into it, he got drunk and told a lot of people in the small town that he was living in that he was camping in a churchyard. And then, lo and behold, a guy came and found him camping in a churchyard and then tried to mug him with a knife. Nothing happened, thankfully, and it was all resolved somehow. But yeah, traveling,
traveling is kind of safe if you're not that guy, is what I'm saying. Nice enough guy, probably full of bullshit. There you go, I just said it. I am in Ghana, and this is the end of the podcast. I'm in the Cape Coast, and I'm going to be going to an area just down the beach from me now that's known as the Castle. It's probably going to be quite depressing, actually. We need something to lift this up. But it used to be where they would, of course, group all the slaves together from across Africa before they were shipped off to the Americas, where today many of the offspring of the offspring of the offspring of those slaves are alive and well. Mad stuff to think that this happened. Let's go and investigate it. I will sort of fill you in parts of it in part two of the Ghana podcast. Also coming up in part two or part three, depending how many I make, I will be motorbiking to Togo. That's quite exciting. So far, I have motorbiked probably about 3 or 4 hours. It's quite safe as long as you're not in the cities, and I'm having a good time. And as you can probably tell, meeting some very interesting people. This is the Vinnie White podcast live from Ghana. And if I just open my door, I can walk 10 feet and be on the beach. Slightly better than camping in a churchyard in Mauritania with people with knives. I think I'm more of an executive traveller. Last thing before I go is this. Everywhere I go on my motorbike, I get lost. And every time I get lost, I ask directions. And every time I ask directions, people on the street say, well, let me get on and I'll just show you where to go. Let me get on. Let me just get on your bike and I'll show you where to go. So I tried it today, picked up some random dude and he showed me where to go. And then he got off and walked back to where he was and got on with his life. Very peculiar for us Westerners. Let's discuss this with the shopkeeper. See you next time. I've noticed that in Ghana, everyone talks to everyone.
Ghana, if you don't want to like to talk, people will talk to you.
Yeah.
Because it's the way you like it in that way. You want to take friend, my friend, let's go.
Yeah, like yesterday I was on my motorbike. I was lost, right? And I asked for directions. And he
everybody
says, oh, let me get on.
Everybody want to help you.
Can you imagine picking up a random guy in Europe?
Somebody can get them for you. Everybody are busy. Everybody are running, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like people hate you. You don't understand. You say, why? What is going? Nobody want to talk to me. Nobody want to help me, you know?
Yeah.
No, here we are not like that. Here.